John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Let me read from verse 25. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It clearly shows us Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for us, our eternal life in heaven. And Father, as we hear your word, you cause our faith to grow, so that with growing the faith that you give to us, let us witness Jesus Christ and our heavenly realities that he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace and because of your word, that our focus will be on the things above, especially on Jesus Christ, who is the King of that glorious place. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the Lord's Supper Sundays, we are looking at the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. From what Jesus says on the cross, we see our heavenly realities that Christ has accomplished on the cross. From them, we see what is true of our salvation in Jesus Christ. From these seven sayings of Christ, we see what Jesus is doing and what he is accomplishing on the cross. The first saying, "Father, forgive them." Jesus talks about the forgiveness of our sins on the cross. Jesus is paying for our sins, paying the penalty of our sins. For wage of sin is death. He is dying for us, not just physically, but he's dying the eternal death. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is dying on the cross in our places for our sins. And because of what he has done for us on the cross, our sins are now forever forgiven by our God. The second saying, "You shall be with me in paradise." Our salvation is salvation from sin, as we have seen in the first saying. But our salvation is also salvation from this world, from Satan. We are saved out of this world, and we are delivered into the kingdom of God. And we are with God forever and ever. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, I pray that you will see clearly what Jesus has done and what Jesus has accomplished for you and for me. See his torn body in the bread and see his shed blood in the cup. See what he has done. See what he has given to you. He gives himself to you. He died for your sins. The problem of your sins have been completely and perfectly taken care of by our Lord. Now you are invited to our Lord's table in heaven to eat and drink with Him. And today, let us look at the third saying. I see some of you are cold, so, you know, give me those hints that I will know. Let's look at the third saying of our Lord on the cross today. John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, that disciple took her into his own household. All people are divided into two groups. And even beneath the cross, we see this. In the book of John, the soldiers are being contrasted with the group of people that we see in verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. One group, believers, the other group, non-believers. God's children and Satan's children. The children of light, the children of darkness. Ever since the very beginning, the people are divided into two groups, the seed of woman and the seed of serpent. This was evident even from Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. All of divisions in the Old Testament point to the true division of mankind. In the Old Testament, people were divided in terms of this world. Are you Jews or are you Gentile? You know, in what country you are born? Are you men or are you women? This is how in the Old Testament people were divided. But all those divisions in the Old Testament was a sign, is a type, pointing to the true division. And the true division of mankind is Jesus Christ. He is the one who separates the children of light from the children of darkness. It is all about whether you are united to Jesus or you are not. Are you in Jesus or you are not in Jesus? Jesus is the true division. He is the only division. So now, we don't divide anybody according to how the world divides people. You know, by classes, you know, are you making more money or not? By sexes, you know, man or woman. All these divisions are no longer valid. It is all about whether you believe Jesus or not. It is all about Jesus Christ. And here we see two people. Jesus' mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved. Two people from one group, believers. Jesus' mother is Mary, as you know, and the disciple whom Jesus loved is usually understood to be John, who wrote the book of John. To Mary, Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, Jesus says, "Behold your mother." First, what we see here is that Jesus, our Lord, completely and perfectly fulfilling the law of God. Romans 13:10, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. The law of God says, honor your parents, and absolutely Jesus perfectly obeyed God's will in those terms. But what else do we see here? Jesus proclaims that for the believers, the world has been already passed away. For you, the world, this sinful world, is already passed away spiritually. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which, the cross, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world is crucified to us and we are crucified to the world. Crucified, meaning you're dead. World is dead to you and we are dead to the world. Meaning we and the world has no relationship. Now, it's so hard for you to see that because you live in this world. And how can you say, you know, I don't have any relationship with this world? Well, just like everything else in our religion, it's not something that you see. It's something you believe because the Bible says. Faith is never about what we see. We talk about faith because we do not see. And you must live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Live by faith, not by sight. Behold, the old things passed away and the new things have come. Even in terms of the family relationships, the earthly has passed away. Here we see right beneath the cross, the formation of the new family, the eternal family, the heavenly family, the family of God. This family is formed centered around Jesus Christ. The connection that the members of this family has is Jesus Christ. All the members of this family are united to Christ and thus in Christ united to one another. Jesus says in Mark chapter 3, verse 33, who are my mother and my brother? Verse 34 and 35, looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold my mother and behold my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother. This is the family that is formed by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, earthly family is about all about blood too, bloodline. But heavenly family is formed by the blood of Jesus. This is the family that all the members of it have heavenly fellowship with one another. They are one body of Jesus Christ. And that reality is witnessed in the church. All the earthly relationship is passing away in Jesus Christ. Whenever we talk about anything in our religion is always in terms of already and not yet. Spiritually, already, the earthly has passed away. But still not yet, visibly, not yet. That happens when Jesus returns. But when Jesus does return, then all the earthly will be completely passed away. When Jesus returns, when all the spiritual realities of heaven will be visible, all the earthly relationship will be completely done away with. And this, we have to keep this in mind. Because your focus should never just be earthly, but always be heavenly. If your focus is always on earth, then only family you know is earthly family. But if your focus is in heavenly things, things change. Members of this family of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 13, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:16a, Paul says, therefore from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. If I recognize you according to flesh, then I have to say you're a son or daughter of your earthly father and earthly mother. But he says, we recognize no one according to the flesh anymore. So if I recognize you in Christ, then you are my brother. If I recognize you according to the flesh, then you are son or daughter of your earthly mother and father. But if I recognize you in Jesus Christ, you are son of my God. My brother, you are. In Jesus Christ, the family of heaven, the eternal family, family of God is accomplished. Mark chapter 10, verse 29-30, Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Do you hear what he says? Sometimes this happens. For the sake of Jesus, we might even have to leave our own family, earthly family. But remember, when you do that, God says, you gain 100 times more. Because all of us are your brothers. But you receive 100 times more in the present age along with persecutions. See how Bible is so practical. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It says just like it is. Yeah, God doesn't say, oh yeah, you leave your family, come to, you know, God, then everything will be rosy, rosy. No. God never says that. But this does not mean that you don't take care of your earthly family. Jesus, in fact, says, if you are the head of the family, and if you don't take care of your earthly family, then you're worse than non-believers. So obviously, it's not saying, okay, just, you know, don't care about your earthly family, just take care of heavenly family. No, that's not what he's saying. But you got to have the right perspective. You have to understand what Jesus has accomplished for us. I hope she's not doing that because she heard my sermon. Yeah, and what Jesus said is fulfilled in you and me. And here's an important point. Mary had many other sons and daughters. Unlike what the Roman Catholic says, Mary had other sons and daughters. But they did not believe in Jesus Christ at that time. John chapter 7 verse 5 says, "For not even his brothers were believing in him." Later, I'm sure some of them became Christians, yes. But whether they were believers or not, don't you think that asking them to take care of their own mother Mary was the proper thing to do? I mean, if you are to say these things, to whom will you say to take care of Mary? Isn't it natural for you to say to her sons and daughters to take care of Mary, no? But look at what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't tell Mary's sons or daughter to take care of Mary. He says to John to take care of Mary. Here, Jesus proclaims that for Christians, there exists the other family, heavenly, eternal family. This is what he does, even on the cross. The reality of this family is witnessed through the church. And see what provisions that God has made for us in the body of Christ. All of us are sons and daughters and fathers and mothers to one another. And as such, we provide the things that others need. We are to live as one family because that is what our Lord has accomplished for us forever and ever. It's something, again, even though you might not see, you must believe. You know, when you see how church people live, you say to yourself, "Oh, one family, my foot." We just don't do it like that. We don't think like that. We don't live like that. But again, it's not something you see. It's something you believe because Jesus says it. He made us one family. Whether we love to witness that or not, that is the fact. That is the reality. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to witness that or not, that's your sin. But the fact still remains, the reality still remains that we are, if we are believers, we are one family of God. And you will see that when Jesus returns. It has to come out. Your life, how you live, how you think, has to flow out from what you believe, what the Bible says. Yes, that's why I don't look at what you do. I look at the Bible. Because even when I look at what I do, I get so discouraged. But I look at the Bible and see what God has done, what He has accomplished, and what He is doing. It's already reality. Your job is to believe and witness it. No, he's not asking you to accomplish that unity. You know, you do all this loving and caring so that we may accomplish that unity. No, he never says that. That unity is already accomplished by Jesus Christ. Your job is to witness it. If you don't witness it, that is your sin. But doesn't mean just because you do not witness it that it is not true. It is already reality. And that you must understand. And if you want to live by the will of God, that you believe this and show that it is true. So you cannot just focus on your earthly family. You have to really care for this heavenly family. I know the life here on earth, it's just so hard for us to even look beyond our earthly family, because, you know, even within our earthly family, there's too many problems and too many things to take care of. But that is why we're Christians. We're different from the world. It is about what Jesus has accomplished. And we believe. And it is our desire to witness what he has done. You know, even earthly. Let's say your earthly father has invented something. I don't know what it is. But, you know, something that world needs. Let's say he accomplished this something. Don't you think it will be your great joy to let everybody know what he has done, what he has accomplished? I mean, it's natural for you to show off what your dad has done, what he has invented, what he has accomplished. Isn't it your great joy to show to the whole world what Jesus has accomplished for you? Or it just doesn't matter? Understand, this is family. And you ever need any need, I don't care what it is, the first place you come is your church. And, you know, right now I don't know how we could help you, especially financially, because our church itself is suffering, but we'll do it somehow. We help one another. Even if I have to ask all of you to starve for 2 days or something and bring that money or something. Have this feeling, and not just feeling, but the understanding, the first place you go for help is your church. Even before your relatives. Church. But the church has become a place where you come out and you show off. You know, it's all about boasting and, you know, how good you are in the world. So, yeah, last thing you want to do is come to church for help. That is wrong. Let's truly love one another and witness that Jesus has made us eternal family of God. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. I pray that not just for you, but just me too. That if any one of you is just left all alone, nowhere to go, nothing to eat, then all of us will be willing to take that person into our household. This is what Christianity is. From that hour, John took Mary into his own household. You have been received into the household of God. Jesus says to you, no longer on the cross, but as the host of heavenly banquet, as he invites you to his table, he says to all of you, behold your brothers. Look around and see your brothers, see your mothers and your fathers. They are your brothers in Jesus Christ. Thus, you cannot come to the Lord's table hating your brothers. You cannot come to the Lord's table hating a part of the body of Christ. You just cannot hate anybody in the church. But on the other hand, please understand what true love is. Love is not just, oh, like a Santa Claus, even if you sin, oh, okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If you love somebody, your greatest desire for that person is to obey God. To live according to his word. That will be your greatest desire for that other person. If you truly love that person. And sometimes in order for you to do that to that person will hate you. But you don't hate him. And they might hate you and they might leave you. They might leave this church. It's okay. You do what you have to do. It has to come out from love. True love, not the worldly love. We must one another. Can you even imagine coming to the Lord's Supper hating a part of Jesus? It just cannot happen. You have no option. Again, whether you accept or not, whether you want to witness or not, that's up to you. And you don't witness it, then it's your sin. But we are one family, and God made us people of God who will love one another perfectly in heaven forever. That's who we are. We will love one another forever, perfectly in heaven. And that is who we are because of what Jesus has done. And whether you accept that and witness that, that's up to you. But I pray that you would accept that, believe it, and witness it in your life. Otherwise, you sin. Otherwise, I sin. It's not your life anymore. You know, these young people, they love to say, it's my life, leave me alone. No, it's not your life. Your life belongs to Christ. Otherwise, you're not even Christian. So, please, as we come to the table, look around. These are my brothers in heaven. And we love one another. That's the fact. 1 John 3:10. Let me read to you. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You must love your brothers. It's not an option. Because to hate one of your brother is to hate Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he does not see. Who has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. All the one who loves God should love his brother also. Again, you got to be careful what that love is. Do not understand that love in a worldly terms. But you must love. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we come to the table of the Lord together, let us witness that we are truly one family of God. See how in Jesus Christ we have become mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters to one another. All of us are the family of God. And do you understand? The Lord's Supper is a family supper. It's a family dinner. It's a family banquet. Yes. We are united to Jesus and we are united to one another in Jesus. And the Lord's Supper witnesses to that fact. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. For you have made us one family. And you have gathered us into this church. Christ and Heaven OPC, so that we may witness that reality, the true reality of our salvation, to bring glory and honor to you. Let us clearly understand what has happened because of what Jesus has done on the cross. The old things are passed away, and the new has come. Let us see in our church the new family that your Son, Jesus Christ, has formed for us. And in this church, let us witness the reality of our eternal life. O Father, bless us that we may truly love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.